Austerity claims another victim in Europe.
Don't miss the numbers, the news, and Kai's final note. Subscribe to the Marketplace podcast. Find it on iTunes or online at marketplace.org/podcasts.
From APM in New York, good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson with the Global Perspective on Business and Economics. The government of Bulgaria has quit after nationwide protests against austerity measures. This is just the latest example of voters rising up against budget cuts and winning. Marketplace's European correspondent Stephen Beard joins us live with the details. Good morning.
Hello, Jeremy.
Well, what are the details here, Stephen? What happened in Bulgaria?
The Prime Minister has decided to go after some bloody clashes between the police and protesters. People have been demonstrating in their tens of thousands in Bulgaria against both higher electricity prices and budget cuts. Bulgaria is the poorest country in the EU, average monthly earnings of $550, and the people are sick of the constant downward pressure on their standard of living. And they're not the only ones. Since the debt crisis began in Europe and governments began imposing austerity and economic reform, governments have fallen as a result in Spain, Greece, Portugal, Ireland, and France.
And I imagine that kind of thing makes it even more difficult then for other governments to impose these cuts and tax increases.
Yes, but these governments are between a rock and a hard place. On the one hand, there is this rising opposition to austerity among voters. But on the other hand, their international creditors and the government bond markets demand austerity and reform. And that's who they have to obey. Here's Megan Green of Maverick Intelligence.
I don't think that any of these governments are actually in control of their own policies. Even though the opposition will continue or increase, I don't think these governments really have any other choice.
And the next big test of this will be in Italy, where people go to the polls this weekend.
Marketplace's Stephen Beard joining us from London. Thanks, Stephen.
Okay, Jeremy.
Well, here in this country, a new report says college fundraisers brought in $31 billion in donations last year, and a full billion of that went to Stanford University. From the Marketplace Education Desk at WYPR, Amy Scott reports.
Stanford outraised Harvard and Yale and everybody else for the eighth year in a row, according to the Council for Aid to Education. Geography helps. Silicon Valley is packed with rich people, and fundraising consultant Bruce Flessner says Stanford's helped make a lot of them rich.
Stanford's created a lot of the wealth, and a lot of the wealth has benefited Stanford.
Venture capitalist and Stanford grad Robert King, for instance, gave $150 million for a new institute to promote entrepreneurship in developing countries. John Cash with consulting firm Martz & Lundy says Stanford is also just really good at raising money.
They have big ideas, and very wealthy people give big gifts to support big ideas.
But Stanford is not immune to dips in the economy. During the financial crisis, it had to cut about 20% of its fundraising staff, and its head of development told me the budget uncertainty in Washington could affect giving this year. I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are higher in global trading this morning, up 0.8% in Tokyo, 0.3% higher right now in London. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow added 53 points to close at 14,035.
Show Marketplace how much you like us. Stay connected to our hosts, reporters, and top stories on Facebook. Find us at facebook.com/APM Marketplace.
Campbell's Soup Company controls about 50% of the soup market, which is far less than the 144-year-old company used to. So in order to start growing again, Campbell's introduced a new line of soups specifically for millennials. The results have been lukewarm, as Marketplace's David Weinberg reports.
They're called Campbell's Go Soups. They come in a microwavable pouch, each one with a different black and white photo of a young person making a quirky face. The Moroccan chicken, for example, has a woman in thick-rimmed glasses with a cartoon voice bubble that says, "Check it out." Campbell's came up with the idea by sending some of its employees to cities like London, New York, and Portland to follow hipster millennials around and see what they ate.
They did a great job figuring out what millennials wanted. The flavors, you know, quinoa and chicken. We like to be healthy. We like quinoa. Perfect.
Evan Hamilton is 28, which makes him a millennial, a term that generally applies to people born between 1980 and 2000. He works at User Voice, a company that helps businesses get feedback from their customers. He thinks Campbell's did a good job with flavors, but when he saw the way the soups were marketed, he says he was kind of insulted.
It sounds like the marketing copy that would be written by aliens if they landed here, 2,000 years from now, and looked through the wreckage of our civilization and found, like, a Simpsons episode from 1999. It doesn't sound like how actual millennials talk.
Robert Zeithammer is a professor of marketing at UCLA. He had his students write about the marketing campaign, and nearly all of them thought it was ridiculous. Zeithammer says that the recession has caused a profound shift in our understanding of millennials, and Campbell's hasn't adjusted to the new reality.
So before the recession, when we thought about millennials, we always talked about them as basically rich, suburban kids, right, who have everything in the world, they're the richest generation, and they just have it made.
Zeithammer says that according to new economic research, millennials who graduated from college during the recession and missed out on entry-level corporate jobs may never catch up.
We should feel profoundly sorry for them. We should not be trying to sell them soup that costs almost double of all the other offerings of Campbell's.
The Go campaign has been the butt of jokes by bloggers and the Colbert Report. But Zeithammer says even this is good publicity because it gets millennials thinking about Campbell's. I'm David Weinberg for Marketplace.
And finally to Samuel Adams Beer, the company that makes it announced this week that it'll offer the beer in cans. Until now, Sam Adams has only been sold in bottles. The company's founder says he made the decision because, quote, cans have changed. I don't know, they still seem the same to me. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.